Let us pray. Loving God, you have been in the preparation for today, in the preparation of the words that I will say, but also in the preparation of all of our hearts as we have come together to worship you this morning. Lord, so be in words said and words understood, and let your word come to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At least one person in this church this morning knows that I recently started going to training sessions at a gym. I think that's my sister-in-law. I'm not sure whether my brother knows that or not, but no, I think it's a conversation I had with Phil recently. That was last August. After 10 months of regular training, I am really feeling the benefits. And I encourage anybody that I meet, this is really worth doing. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I needed it. My joints are now stronger, my muscles are bigger, honestly, you can't see them at the moment, and my balance has improved, because he does loads of stuff on balance. However, like many other people, on the gym days, I can feel that it seems like an awful lot of effort. And if I wasn't actually booked for the sessions, I may join that club of paid up members who regularly do not go to the gym. So the other Monday, when I was getting ready to go off to the minister's summer school for 4 days, I caught myself thinking, oh, I'm so glad I'm not able to go to the gym today. My next thought was, I wish I could keep all the muscles really strong and the joints pain free, but not need to exercise. I was struck by this being a thought that may be useful in a sermon one day, and here we are, because my mind wandered to today. How in our Christian lives and in the life of our church communities do we wish everything would stay strong and toned without us needing to do anything? It's an attractive idea. Gain without pain, I think we would call it. So why do I feel that's a good idea to begin our sermon today? Anniversaries are a good time to take stock. There are many types of anniversaries. Some bright and joy-filled, some difficult and filled with sadness. They are a marker on the way. How many years married, for example? How many years since I lost that dear person? In the life of a church, they can be a dangerous time. I remember a previous moderator commenting on speaking at a church anniversary somewhere in the south of the synod, that he was more interested in their vision for the future than in the historical icarve material mounted all around the walls. Ironic, as that church is now closed. In the life of our churches, I think we are running a race, to borrow a phrase from Paul's letters. Paul uses that idea to describe his personal formation as a Christian disciple, but I'm reusing it to also describe the continuing formation of a community. Running a race, like, say, a marathon, requires regular, committed exercise, endless encouragement, good sustenance, and intentional looking to the front with eyes wide open, and an awareness of the things that may have tripped us up before that may trip us up again. In these verses from Colossians, I believe we can take some words that can help us look at this formation. The writer of the letter, whoever he was, and most probably not Paul, was writing to a community being threatened by dangerous teaching. This false teaching blended elements of Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, and mystical practices, what scholars often call the Colossian heresy. But don't ask me any deeper questions about that afterwards. Don't know more, ask my brother. Paul wrote to them to affirm the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, reminding believers that they were complete in Jesus Christ and didn't need to add anything else to their faith. I didn't choose the wonderful hymn that we find that comes after from verse 15 of Colossians 1, which richly asserts the supremacy of Christ, because I felt these earlier verses offer words for us today. These verses give us a rich and inspiring passage that beautifully aligns with that spirit of a church anniversary. It offers a framework for thanksgiving and vision, which are central themes when celebrating the life and legacy of a faith community. So let's think about the passage and the message that it gives us. There's gratitude for the past. Paul begins with heartfelt thanks for the Colossians' faith, love, and hope, qualities that reflect a healthy, gospel-rooted church. On an anniversary, this is a moment to echo the writer's words. We always thank God when we pray for you. As you look back at the many people who have been part of this church, you can probably call to mind individuals. We celebrate the faithfulness of all those who have given their gifts and skills in the designing of this building, of the spaces within it. All those who've preached the word and presided at the sacraments of communion and baptism. All those who've looked after the many aspects of the life of the church, from cleaners and flower arrangers to elders to previous ministers. The love shared among members and the hope that has sustained the church through seasons of joy and challenge. What you have now has not happened by accident. Rather, like me hoping I could keep my muscles and not have to go to put in the effort. No, many, many people have kept this church strong and healthy. In verse 6 we read, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehend the grace of God. And this verse reminds us that the church is a part of the global ever-growing movement of God's kingdom. What you do here is extremely important in and of itself in building up the body of Christ, but you're also part of a wider congregation. The fruit produced here has gone out and enriched other communities, and you have had fruit coming here that has been grown elsewhere. Then there's a prayer for the present. The prayer here is for spiritual wisdom, understanding, and strength. And it forms a powerful model for what we should desire in the present. As this church marks another year, we can ask the questions: are we walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Are we bearing fruit in every good work? And that's for you to reflect on. I don't know the answers. But this section encourages the church to continue to seek a deeper knowledge of God. Is this a priority for you all? How are you supporting that marathon race for each person in the congregation? Are you all in exactly the right place in your relationship with God? And what may help you move even closer to God as you all press on towards the goal? Live lives that please God. This is about those fruits that the writer talked about in earlier verses. As we are a dispersed church throughout the week, how are we showing those fruits of the Spirit in how we live? When we meet up with friends, when we're with a family, we're at work, engaged in voluntary work maybe, how is the fruit being shown? And then he says, be strengthened with endurance and patience. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. This part of the prayer shows that the writer understood just how challenging this Christian journey is, as individuals and as church. We're in it for the long haul. We need to draw on the strength that God offers us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In those verses from Luke chapter 14, we hear about Jesus warning his disciples about the cost of this life that they have taken up and that we have taken up. These verses speak to us of the need to plan for how we exercise our discipleship, and that this endeavour will come at a cost. Be strengthened then with endurance and patience. So we ask, what is the vision for the future? The writer ends this section by reminding the Colossians of their inheritance, the redemption and deliverance that has come through Jesus Christ. These verses cast a vision of identity and purpose rooted in Christ's saving work. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is a call to mission. The church is not just a building or a tradition. It is a people called out, redeemed, and sent into the world. As we mark the anniversary of the church, we must always look to the future. Where will you be in 10 years' time? What will this congregation look like? How many more people will you have reached out to in that time? Not just through worship here on a Sunday, but through what goes on during the week. And through personal invitation, because I know that each of you will be doing that to people around you who don't already know Jesus Christ. An invitation to experience the fellowship and the refreshment that God promises to us all. And that comes through fellowship in a church community. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 offers us this threefold message: to thank God for what God has done, to pray for continued growth and strength, and to look forward with confidence in Christ's redeeming power towards the fruit grown and the harvests to come. And what of me and my gym sessions, you may ask? Well, you know, the trainer who runs our group sessions repeatedly says to me, when I said I can't do things, "You couldn't do that when you started. And you couldn't press that weight when you started." So basically what he says to me is, look how far you've come, and he constantly encourages me. And that's the thought I'm going to leave you with, because look how far you've come, and constantly encourage one another in your life together. And I hope that this day together gives you that sense of encouragement. Let's give thanks, but keep pressing on towards the goal set before us.